and particular three particular examples from her life, and showing how there is a common denominator between all of these stories in the life of Mary. And that is, you'll always see Mary at the feet of Jesus. The first one here is in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Now what happened is they went, but he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Whenever I read this particular text, I can associate with Martha, because it says about her she's worried and troubled about many things, and she's concerned about being a good hostess here. And so she approaches Jesus because Mary won't help her serve. Mary's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus teach. And Mary's not helping Martha. And so Martha actually approaches Jesus and says, tell her to help. This is when Jesus rebukes her in a very kind way. But what he has to say about Mary is that Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Mary understood what was important. What was important was Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, was in her house, and he was preaching and teaching. And so she was not concerned and was not going to be concerned, regardless of how much Martha huffed and puffed, regardless of what Martha said. Mary understood what was important, and that was listening to the teachings of Jesus Christ. In our world today, we have to fight against being Marthas, because there's so many things that are wanting our time, wanting our attention, saying, read this, watch this, listen to this. So many things that we're caught up juggling, trying to take care of at the same time, that we need to keep our focus and come to understand that we need to be Marys sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, because it is dealing with things, as the Lord says, that will not be taken away from us. It is dealing with matters of eternity. It is through the Word of God we find the way to eternal life with God Almighty in heaven. And so that understanding, we need to give our focus to the Word of God and not get caught up in the frivolous temporary things of this world that cause us to lose focus. The second account of Mary is over in John chapter 11. It says, now in chapter 11, 1 through 4, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and the Son of God may be glorified through it. When you drop down to verse 17, I'm going to read the beginning of this all the way down to verse 28. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now when you drop down to verse 32, this is where Mary comes in. Verse 32, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Here again, we see Mary. Where is she? She's at the feet of Jesus. And what she's doing, she's grieving over the loss of her brother. When you drop down to verse 43 and 44, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. In the text here, we see Martha and Mary grieving over the loss of their brother Lazarus. And Martha confesses that she knows that Jesus is able to give him life even now, that she has total confidence and trust in him. And we also see Mary talking about she understands, has total faith, that if Jesus would have been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And what does Jesus do? He raises him from the dead, is what he does. There's a lesson there for us. There's going to be times in our life when we are going to be finding ourselves in moments of intense, great grief. Going over to Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There are going to be moments in our life when we're going to be crushed with grief. Usually it is associated with the loss of a loved one. When those moments come, turn to the Lord, cast your care upon him, as 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Take it to God in prayer. Cast all of your care, all your grief before the Lord. There's going to be times in our life when we need to just get down on our knees and pray to God. Just get down at the feet of God and pray. Asking for his help, asking for his guidance, ask for his strength. In Ephesians 3 and 20 it says, "Now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Jesus is able to do all things. He is able to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he is going to raise us from the dead in the resurrection. If you have a loved one who has died in the Lord, you do not need to grieve as others who have no hope. Jesus died and rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of God right now. He's coming again, folks. And the resurrection will take place. And when we are with God in heaven, there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. So whatever it is that's causing you grief now, there will come a time through Christ when you will not experience any of that. And then finally, in John chapter 12, 1 through 8, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served," there she's serving again. "But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always.'" What you see here again is Mary. And where is Mary? She's at the feet of Jesus. This is something you will always see about Mary. Every time you read about her in the New Testament, she is always at the same location. Always at the feet of Jesus. One time, it is learning from his feet. Another time, it is grieving at his feet, seeking help. Here, she is honoring him. She's honoring him as the Christ. Whether you realize it or not, this costly oil of spikenard, that would basically take us today a year's worth of wages. Think about how much you make in a year. That's what it would cost to put this on someone's feet. And so this is a high honor that she is paying to Christ. We'll close with Revelation 5, 13 through 14. "And every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessed and blessing, honor, and glory, power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever." Here you have a picture of heaven. And I want you to notice the 24 elders who I believe to be the highest honor of any mankind, and that is going to be that close to God in heaven. The 24 elders that are surrounding the throne, what did they do? They fall down at the feet of the throne. They're worshiping God at his feet. The lesson for us is that we need to follow the example of Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus learning from God's Word. We need to pray at the feet of Jesus because He is the Christ, He is the King, He is at the right hand of God, and they are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. And finally, we need to be honestly worshiping God at His feet. He is our God, the Creator, and we are the creation. He is and always will be worthy of our absolute humble worship to Him. So we learn from Mary that we need to be at the feet of Jesus. That's one of the reasons I didn't preach this before, because I could look at it and tell it was only going to take 10 minutes. But it's perfect for a night like tonight. There may be somebody here this evening, though, who is not in Christ yet, and you believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. If you're willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and there's sin between yourself and your God that you have not dealt with, we will pray for you, we'll pray with you the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know. We'll stand and sing a song.